good for us again this evening to be able to come together to worship God and to enjoy a time together as His people. In the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks there about being persecuted for the sake of God and His will. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, He says, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for My sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And it is good, not is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they take a light and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The idea there of let your light shine is one that comes out really throughout the Bible in different ways and in different ways of stating the same concept or idea. Our light, we have to understand, is not of how good we are, but is a reflection of what Christ gives to you and me. It is a reflection of His glory. When we believe Him, we obey Him, we follow His will to the best of our ability, then we become the light of Christ to the world around us. And sometimes we don't realize it or think about it that way. And yet that's what God wants us to do, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we have to dedicate ourselves to doing the will of God to the best of our ability, as sometimes as limited as that might seem to us. He wants us to be that light to others around us. And it's not like a spotlight. It's not like shining in somebody's eyes and blinds them for a moment. The idea is like the light in a room that lights up everything around it. And that's the idea. We are not to force our light upon anybody else, but we are to live in such a way they will see the light of Christ living in us. And that's the idea that Jesus brings forth there in that part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul there says to us then, he says, "But even to this day, when Moses is read, there is a veil lies on their heart." He's talking about the Jews hearing the message of the Old Testament, the law of Moses. And he says, even to this day, when the Moses message was read to the people, there was a veil over them. They couldn't really believe and understand what God is saying to them. In other words, there's something they were missing out on because they did not live up to what the Bible told them, what the Old Testament, as we would call it today, was telling them. But notice what else he says. Verse 16, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." There's the idea of letting our light shine. You know, the veil was in front, and so the light could not get out, and those who are out there could not see it. And so that's the idea. He says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so he says the Lord is the Spirit. You know, Christ is a spiritual being in heaven with God. And he says, "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so the Spirit of the Lord also is both Christ in this particular context, but also the work of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us from the Word of God, that we can be the light for those who are around us. And then in verse 18, he says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we read that passage for a moment and think, as we are serving God, as we're putting forth an effort every day we live, we are becoming more and more enlightened in Christ by not only believing what He says, but also putting it into practice every day. We increase in the spiritual light that we give to others around us. And that's what Paul is talking to the church of Corinth about. If you read 1 Corinthians, he spent a great deal of his time in 1 Corinthians trying to set them straight on what they should be doing and what they were not doing or what they were doing wrong. Well, in 2 Corinthians, it seems that they heard the message. They got Paul's message, and they were doing something about it and doing better. So he's likening them to the Old Testament when there was a veil over the Jews and they couldn't seem to accept the idea of God and God's will and follow it and continue to do it and be an example and blessing to each other. But he says, but you, in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, in other words, our light that we shine every day, as Jesus tells us to do so, is a light from us, and it's a reflection of the light and glory of Christ when we're following Him. He says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We might look in the mirror and think, I'm the glory of the Lord. We don't think that way. But that's what He's saying to us. If we believe and we obey Christ, we are the glory, we are the light of the Lord to the world around us. And He says, in being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The glory of God gives us through Christ, the glory that we can show to others by living a faithful life before Him. And He says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit guides us because He revealed the message of God to us in His Word. And when we believe and we obey the gospel of Christ, we're buried with Him in baptism. And when we're raised up, when we do that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as the guide in our life. And He guides us by His Word, by the Word which He reveals to us. That's the guiding message which He has for us. And He blesses us every day, both God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit, when we place our faith and our trust in Him and follow Him every day. So we go back now to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, Jesus uses a comparison there. He says, you are the light of the world. Now, again, we are not the light of the world because of how good we are, or how righteous we are, how faithful we are. In fact, we are the light of the world in spite of those things sometimes. But if we place our faith and trust in God, we become that light. He shows the world around through us the fact that we are the light of God as we walk in this light. And so He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now you think about that. Most of the time when a large city was being built, they would choose a high place for it to be built for several reasons. For one, you could see it from a distance and you could find your way there if you didn't know exactly how to get there. For another, it was more difficult for an invading army to take a city that's set on a hill rather than coming down the hill into the city. So it made it safer for the people and for the soldiers and such to defend the city. And so He says, you're a city set on a hill. You're like that. And He likens that to the light. He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't hide what's there in plain sight. And the city, like Jerusalem, was built upon a hill. And others were also. So it could be seen from a distance. And it couldn't be hidden anywhere. And so the people would know where it is. And if we're the light of God, we are the light of Christ in our life every day, then we can't hide that. Now, again, you don't go and shine like a spotlight in somebody's eyes. You simply shine that light as we're going about our everyday life and teaching and living and serving in the way that we can. And so we look at that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So God cleanses us as we walk in the light of Christ. And Christ Himself says in Matthew 5, He says, we are that light. We are the enlightenment of others who are around us. Now, if you go outside when it's dark and there's no light and you turn on a flashlight or something, you know, you can see around you. Well, that's what we're to be, the light for others to be able to see where they're going, to guide them by the life that we live. And so in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, David understood the concept of what Jesus was going to say 1,000 years later in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so, wherever you're going, the light of God is going to be with us if we're faithful to Him. And He's always going to be there to watch over us, to bless us, if we will follow Him. Now, again, that does not mean that everything is always going to go right for us. Doesn't mean that everything in our life is going to be right, because sometimes it's not, because we make the wrong decisions sometimes in the way we live and the things that we do in life. But he says, David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, of course, they didn't have electricity back then, and so they would have to have some kind of a candle or lamp that they would take with them. He says, that's the way the Word of God is. If it's really dark, that's the light. That's what guides my path. And that's what Jesus wants of us. And when He says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, our light should not be hidden. Every day we live, we ought to be an example to others. In verse 15 then, He says, nor do they light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So verse 14 is kind of talking about, like David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. In other words, lighting the lamp and giving a light to others to come to Christ. Here in verse 15, it's more the idea of the light that is there when they arrive, when they come into a place. And he says there, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. You know, turn on the lights at home and cover it up with something so that the light doesn't come out. That would defeat the purpose of lighting the lamp. And he says, you don't do that. You have to be that light all of the time. And he says there, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Now, of course, they had candles, or they had the kind of lamps that burned with a wick or something like that. And so they had to have that burning any time there needed to be light inside the house. That's what they used. And that's the example to you and me. We become like that light. There's one lampstand or light stand in the house, and it has to give light to the whole room. Well, he says, we are going to be like that. If we're faithful to God, we're the light that lights up the room spiritually wherever we go. And then he says then, of course, in verse 15, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Well, that's our purpose. That's what we are to do. All in the house means everyone else in the house of God, the household of God, which we are as God's people. The church is not the building we meet in. Most people call this the church, but the church is not the building we're in. It's us who are God's people who are meeting together to worship and to study. And then we look down 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul himself, on many occasions, talks about the idea of the light and the light shining among the people. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now here, Paul kind of brings it down to you and me. And verse 3, he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled on those who are perishing." The veil is not because we're not trying to serve God. It's because they don't want to see it. It's like a veil is put over their face. Verse 4, and here's why. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." In other words, Satan, evil, has taken over them, and they cannot see that light because they refuse to see it. "Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." If they simply would turn away from sin and seek after God's will, they would be able to see the light of God in others who are around them. And we're to be the ones to provide that light for them through the gospel of preaching and teaching and serving and living according to it. And he says then, Paul says, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Now that's interesting what Paul says. Now he could have said, "I'm Paul the Apostle. Look how great I am. Look at everything I've done, and I've done for you." Well, he didn't say it. He didn't put it that way. He says, "We don't preach ourselves. I don't go around and tell people how great I am or what I've done." He says, "We preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake." You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul talks about delivering the message, and he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." And he said in that passage, he says, "Who is Paul or who is Apollos or who is others? We're just the servants. We're the one that delivers the message." And so Paul never forgot that. He never let the idea of being an apostle of Christ go to his head, so to speak. And then he says in verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." All the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That's the God he's talking about, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as God illuminated the world when it was created, he illuminates our heart by the shining of the light of Jesus Christ in our lives and in our minds and hearts. And of course, our responsibility then is to take that light and shine by the way we live every day. Now, verse 16, then what kind of example should we be? Well, to be like Christ as much as possible. But verse 16 then, he says, then let your lights so shine before men. The word "so" comes from a word meaning in this manner, in this way. In other words, this is how it's to be done. Or even so, this is how you are to serve God, to let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So again, we don't get up in people's face and tell them how great we are and how good a servant of God we are and how faithful we are. You know, you go over to the book of Luke and Jesus' account of the ones that went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee came and told God, "Look at me, God, how great I am and how many things I do for you and how fortunate you are to have me as your servant. That's basically what he said. Well, the other came and beat on his chest and said, Father, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He said, Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Jesus says that's the one that went down to his house forgiven because he understood his situation. He understood his sinful condition, and he prayed that God would forgive. He did not exalt himself. And so we look at this and it says, let your light so shine before men. In other words, every day of life has to be an example for others around us. And we might think, well, how should we not do that? We'll turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and begin at verse 5, he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile, a creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So we're to work on the idea of our speech. And there's, you look in the Bible and read through the Bible, there's more things about the sin of the tongue than any other sin that we commit. I guess because it's so easy to say things we shouldn't sometimes. But we have to work on that, to speak and to act and to live the way of God. We want to live the way that God has commanded for us to do. We go back over now to the book of Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. Here is what Christ wants us to know and to understand about letting our light shine. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Okay, if we have believed the gospel, you go back to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, we are buried with him in baptism, which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So that's what he's talking about in the beginning of chapter 3. So he says, if you are raised together with Christ. We go in baptism, we're raised with him, and it's the working of God, not our work, that does it. We simply submit to God's will. And he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. There's one of the keys right there. Look to God and to spiritual things more than the everyday physical things. Now, to be sure, as finite human beings, we have to look at the things of this life every day. But don't let that take us away from God. Verse 3, here's why. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When we're buried with him in baptism, we die to the old way of life. We're raised through the working of God and we're given a new life. And he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, that's why we're to seek the things that are above. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So if we simply let our light shine and continue to do so, when Christ comes back again, we're going to go home with him for all eternity and to be with him in glory. So there are certain things we're not to do. There's things we are to do. What are we supposed to do? Again, we're to follow the things of our Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul there says, be imitators or followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Notice he didn't say, look at me, how great I am, and follow me. He says, you be followers of me as I am of Christ. In other words, if I'm not following Christ, you don't follow me. But if I am, you follow the way that I set the example. I said it means to live and to act and to speak as much like Christ as we possibly can. Well, how do we do that? Well, go back over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here, again, the Apostle Paul tells us the idea of what our attitude should be in everyday life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." This mind, this attitude. What was Christ's attitude? "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." That's the attitude Jesus had. He left the glory of heaven, emptied himself completely to become like us, and went to the most humiliating kind of death that anyone could die, being nailed to a cross. And he went there for you and me. But what happens then? Verse 9. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Then the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and on the earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, that's going to happen. That is going to happen at the end of time, where everyone will bow before Christ and will acknowledge him as God in the flesh and the Son of God. It's going to be done. We have to prepare now to be prepared when that time comes so that we can go home with him for eternity. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that Jesus went about doing good. Whatever good required, Jesus did it in his life. He didn't just teach it, he also did those things and that he was teaching. There was no difference between his actions and his teaching, or his teaching and his actions. There's no difference. They were one and the same. And so when we worship together, we study together, we encourage each other along the way. When we meet together, we make it our effort to try to be here together as God's people. God wants us to do that. We go back again to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Notice he says, say these things against you falsely. Sometimes we do things that people can rightly accuse us of doing wrong. But we want, if they talk about us that way, we want it to be falsely, because we're trying to do what's right. And he says then in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." If they say evil things about us and those things, he says, we accept it. We go on and be faithful no matter what. God's going to be with us. And we're going to be blessed for all of eternity. And he says there, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." You know, and that, but if we are faithful to God in spite of persecution, anything else that happens to us, he says we are in the company of the apostles and prophets, of Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and all of those people. We're in the same kind of company because we are God's people and we're letting our light shine. So we look at that and realize then God wants us to be faithful every day we live. And we have to make a decision every day we live to be faithful or not. Now this evening, if there's a need in your life, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand as we sing.